He wrought a miracle before he entered Jericho. And he did a miracle of grace in the life of Zacchaeus after he came out of Jericho. But he did not stop in Jericho. He wrought no miracle and he did not minister to the people of Jericho. We asked the reason why. Since the Lord had gone throughout all the towns and villages of his earthly ministry preaching the word. We find the answer back in Joshua, where when Jericho was overthrown, then Joshua adjured the people, charged the people, that no man should build again Jericho, that the curse of God was upon it, and would be upon the man who built Jericho. And Joshua told the people that the man who built Jericho would lose his firstborn in the laying of the foundations. And he would lose his youngest son when the gates of the city would be erected. That was quite a solemn warning. And yet a man called Hiel defied the Lord, went ahead and built Jericho and suffered the consequences that Joshua said he would. And so it was on the Lord's way out of Jericho that he met this little man. We noted last week the curiosity of the little man. In the second verse, we're told something about this individual, this man who was little of stature. We have, first of all, the description. A few things are written about this individual who climbed up into the tree to see the Lord. Regarding his description, we noted his plainness. Because the verse 2 says, and behold, there was a man. That's all he is, just a man. Whatever else is said about him, he's nothing more than a man. Yet the God-man met with that plain man that day, who was little of stature. And it just simply reminds us of what Job said, "What is man, that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him?" Do you ever wonder why? Have you ever thought about it, why God should set his heart upon us? What are we? We're nothing more than just men. Remember the words of the psalmist, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 8 and verse 4. So we noted his plainness. We noted his position. We're told he was chief among the publicans, that is, he was the chief tax collector. Tax collectors were not very popular with the Jews. And here was a man who was the chief of the tax collectors. He was hated by the Jews. Verse 7 tells us, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." They looked upon Zacchaeus as a very sinful man. Of course, we know God is no respecter of persons. High or low, rich or poor, bond or free, down and out, doesn't matter to the Lord. The Lord will accept all comers. He accepted even the chief of publicans. He accepted the chief of sinners, namely Saul of Tarsus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, "of whom I am chief." The Lord will receive all comers. That includes you. You have never come to Christ, never received Christ as your Savior, and you feel you can't come to Him because of your sin. That's just the lie of the devil. Isn't that what we read at the last verse? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And sinners are lost. And you're lost. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save the lost. Then we noticed not only the description but the desire. How refreshing to meet a rich man. Because Zacchaeus was rich. A rich man who sought to see Jesus who he was. Verse 3. There you have his interest. He wasn't interested in seeing the multitude. He wasn't interested in seeing the men, namely the Lord's disciples. He was interested in seeing the Master. He was interested in seeing Christ. And mark the words. He was interested in seeing Christ who he was. He had probably heard a great deal about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wanted to know who he was. Would that more men today would be interested in seeing Jesus, like the Greeks that came up to Jerusalem. And they came to one of the Lord's disciples and they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Well, here's Zacchaeus. Wanted to see Jesus and he wanted to see who he was. He had heard much about him. But isn't it interesting that Zacchaeus wanted to find out for himself who he was? Just like the woman of Samaria, who after meeting Christ went back to Samaria and told the men, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man." In other words, she was saying to the men of the city, "Come and see for yourself." And of course they did come. And they saw. And they wanted the Lord to abide with them, and he abode with them for 3 days. And I would say to all today who have heard the gospel and you've heard about Jesus Christ and the kind of a wonderful, loving, caring Savior that he is, I would say to you today, come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it, or the word of your minister or your pastor, but come and see for yourself. And when you come and see who Christ is and how good he is and what a blessing there is in knowing him, you know what you'll say? You'll say what the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon. She said, "The half was not told me." And you come and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you'll be saying, "Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it." For he is a wonderful Savior. And you find more wonders in him every day when you know him. Then you'll notice the difficulty. We're told Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. The difficulty. He couldn't see the Lord because of the press. There you have the struggle. Zacchaeus struggled to get near to the Lord, to see Jesus, who he was. But he couldn't get there for the crowd that was around the Lord. It was a struggle for him to get there. And how often that has been the case. You've maybe thought about coming to the Lord and becoming a Christian by the grace of God. You want to be saved. You want to know the Lord as your Savior. But there's been a struggle going on in your heart. You may be looked at other Christians. You may be looked at others who profess to know the Lord, and maybe they haven't lived up to your expectations what a Christian might be or should be. And you've said, well, if that man's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. Or maybe it's your workmates or your friends, and you don't know what you would tell them. And you know what the reaction would be. You tell them you've got saved, you know they're going to laugh at you. And it's a struggle. Well, listen. You come and receive Christ as your Savior and let the Lord take care of the rest of it. He'll take care of those workmates of yours and those friends. And you'll not be worried about what they'll say if you have Christ as your Savior. We noted his stature. The Holy Spirit speaking through Luke has pointed out to us that this was a man who was little of stature. He found, because he was little of stature, this personal matter, because he was little of stature, he couldn't get to Christ. Once again, that is so typical regarding those who were drawn to see the Lord. They are discouraged by others. And then they consider themselves and reckon themselves too little, too small to be of any importance for the Lord to be interested in them. That's not true. What did the Lord say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. The Lord will receive little children. And he was ready to receive this little man. And it doesn't matter how you look down upon yourself or think you're not worth saving. That's not true. I'll tell you this. If you today come to the Lord, if you today in prayer ask the Lord to save you, he will save you. If you repent of your sin, you'll be converted. Listen, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No wise. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We then go to his determination. This little man was determined to see Jesus who he was. It seems as though nothing was going to stop him and nothing was going to stand in his way. So what did he do? He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He was to pass that way. You see, Zacchaeus may have been a little man, but he was a wise man. Because, you see, he knew the Lord was passing that way. Where was the Lord going to? He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to die on Calvary. He wouldn't be back that way again. Zacchaeus knew the Lord was passing that way. And Zacchaeus could not afford to miss the opportunity. Through the gospel, the Lord Jesus is passing this way today. He is. The Lord is passing this way today. And he's affording you that opportunity that was afforded Zacchaeus. Come to the only Redeemer. Come to his infinite love. Come to the gate that is leading homeward to mansions above. Jesus is passing this way. Don't miss the opportunity. For you, he may not pass this way again. So we have considered the curiosity of the little man. Now we consider the conversion of this little man. Soon the Lord and the procession of followers came to where the little man was, up there in the sycamore tree, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Now we noted that Zacchaeus was very interested in seeing Jesus, who he was. Now we note the interest of Christ. How many, I wonder, of that multitude that followed the Lord would have taken any notice of a little man up in the sycamore tree? I venture to say not very many. He was little to start with. And you know what it's like if you're walking along the street. You tend to walk along with your head down. Or you're looking sideways. You never think of looking up. But here we find that when the Lord Jesus came to the sycamore tree, the Lord looked up. There's the Lord's interest. And again, this is so typical of the Savior. You see, the Lord is always interested in those, particularly who the world will pass by. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 5, we read of the great number of people lying at the pool of Bethesda. It's interesting that Bethesda means the house of mercy. And the Lord had mercy on one individual who lay at the pool of Bethesda. For there in John 5 and verse 5 we read, and a certain man was there that had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be ill. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Mark the words of verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You see, at a certain time of the year, an angel would come and touch the waters of the pool of Bethesda, and the first person into the pool would be healed of their infirmity. Now, however long this man had been lying there, we're not told, but we know he had the infirmity 38 years. And the man said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Imagine that. He said, I have no man. In other words, he was saying, I don't have one friend. I don't have one who cares enough about me to put me into the pool. I don't even have one friend. But then it says that when Jesus came upon the scene, Jesus saw him lie. Nobody else paid any attention to this man. Nobody else cared about him. Nobody else loved him. Nobody else was prepared to help him. Until Jesus came. And Jesus saw him. And that day the Lord Jesus healed him. You see, the Lord cares about those who nobody else cares about. And just look at the incident that took place before the Lord entered into Jericho. For we read in Luke 18 and verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They said unto him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him." You see, those who walked before Christ and were following him thought the Lord would not be interested in a beggar man at the side of the road. And a blind beggar man at that. They were thinking, what a worthless individual this man is. So they rebuked him. They told him to keep quiet. They rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 40. And Jesus stood. The Lord stopped. The others wanted the Lord to pass him by, but not Christ. You see, Christ has a different heart. He had a different heart from those who told the blind beggar man to be quiet. That's the heart that Christ has today. He hasn't changed. And you know something? He's still interested in sinners. He's still interested in those who think there's no possibility that the Lord would accept them. My Savior always shows an interest in those whom the world disregards and those whom the world would pass by. Have you ever thought that no one cares about you? Have you? Have you ever thought in the quietness of your home, with all your troubles and all your burdens and all your cares, nobody cares about me? Jesus cares. That I can guarantee. The Lord Jesus is the caring Savior. And you, with your troubles, your infirmities, your problems, your burdens, let me tell you today, Jesus is the one who cares above all others. He cares more about you than your closest friend, because he knows more about you. And he cared for Zacchaeus. And he cared about the man at the pool of Bethesda. And he cared about blind Bartimaeus who sat at the wayside begging. And he cared about legion possessed of demons. And he cared about the lepers. And he cared about the dumb and the deaf and the halt and the blind. Jesus cares. And he cares for you. That's the Savior I can recommend to sinners. Notice the Lord's instruction. The interest of Christ and the instruction by Christ. Note how the Lord came to the place where the little man was in verse 5. You know the Lord came to us where we are. The Lord left the ivory palaces of heaven and he came into this world where you and I are. He comes to where the sinner is. No matter how far down in sin a man or woman may be, Christ will not pass them by if they call out to him. You'll notice when the Lord Jesus came, he gave instruction. He gave instruction to Zacchaeus. You know what I find interesting in verse 5? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The thing that I find interesting here is the Lord knew this little man by name. The little man didn't know Christ, but Christ knew him. Knew him by name. There you can see that the instruction was personal. He said to Zacchaeus, he called out his name. And all the multitude of people that were around him. You know something? The Lord would have known every man and woman and child in that multitude. Because Christ knows all things. He's the God-man. But here, amidst the din and the noise of the multitude, the Lord Jesus cried out this man's name, Zacchaeus. Come down. The Lord knew him personally. There's not a man, woman, or young person in this house of worship today whom the Lord doesn't know. You may not know him. Zacchaeus at that point didn't know Christ. Because he wanted to see him, who he was. And he knows every one of us here today. He knows your heart, knows your thoughts, knows your manner of life, knows your ways, hears your words, knows all about your secret sins, knows all about your outlandish sins, knows all about your habitual sins. He knows it all. That would cause many a man to tremble. You know those sins? You wouldn't want anybody else to know about. Those sins done in secret, those sins committed in the darkness, yet God knows. The Lord knows every one of them. Remember the words of Nathanael upon meeting Christ? He said, whence knowest thou me? Nathanael said to Christ, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. It's all right, Nathaniel, I know everything about you. There's nothing in your heart, there's nothing in your life that I don't know. And again, we think of the man lying by the pool of Bethesda. The Lord came upon him, and the Lord saw him lie, listen, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. 38 years, the Lord knew. The Lord knew every day of that man's sufferings. So how can we hide from the Lord today? How can we hide our sin from the Lord today? We can't. Like our first parents in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. Oh, they went and hid. And the Lord came to the Garden of Eden and the Lord said, Adam, wherefore art thou? He wasn't saying that because he didn't know where Adam was. He knew exactly where he was. He just wanted Adam to admit to the sin they had just committed. It's personal. It was pressing. The Lord instructed the little man to make haste and come down. See, there was no time for delay. Delay is always dangerous. Maybe you've delayed facing up to this matter of salvation and being a Christian. You learned portions of Scripture. You learned the catechism from your childhood days. You've known the truth from those childhood days. But you've delayed. Why are you not a Christian then? Delay is dangerous. Consider Lot's wife. The angels came and told Lot and his family to escape to the mountain. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. We know what happened, don't we? Lot's wife delayed. She stopped, looked behind her, was turned into a pillar of salt. Delay is dangerous. God speaks to your heart, don't delay. If the Lord through His Word says, make haste, you better obey that word. Not the first time. A person has been spoken to by the gospel, has been spoken to by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, and they have known they should get saved there and then, but they've delayed, and it has cost them. I know of individuals who have gone out of gospel meetings, and on the way home, they've had a car accident and been plunged out into eternity. And that has happened to them with the gospel message ringing in their ears. Going into eternity with the message of the gospel ringing in their ears. And you know something? They can still hear that gospel message today. You still remember the passage of Scripture the preacher preached from. Delay is dangerous. That's why the Lord said, make haste. You recall when the Lord went to the land of Gadara? There he saw Legion. And we are told that when Legion saw Jesus afar off, listen, he ran and worshipped him. He ran. There was no delay. There was no tarrying. Because I'll tell you something else. That was the one and only time the Lord Jesus visited the land of Gadara. Just the once. He was never back again. Legion couldn't give up that opportunity. This is your opportunity today. And just as Legion became a new creature in Christ Jesus, you can become a new creature too. We have the instruction of Christ, the interest of Christ. Now you have the intention of Christ. And what a wonderful day that was for this little man, Zacchaeus. For the little man who was rich, had received a gift that all his riches couldn't buy. Because the Lord said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. All the money that Zacchaeus had accumulated over the years. In fact, if he had access to all the money in the world, he couldn't have purchased the gift that Christ gave him that day, because Christ gave him the gift of salvation. And silver and gold cannot buy salvation. Church can't buy salvation. The labor of your hands cannot buy salvation. Because you see, Christ has already paid the price of salvation. It's already paid for. And the Lord Jesus offers salvation as a gift. As a gift. And what do you do with a gift? You receive it. And you're thankful for it. What would the giver think of you if they handed you a gift and you said to them, I don't want it? You imagine how offended they would be? You know how offended you would be. How often have you offended Christ? Every time the gospel has been preached, the Lord has offered you salvation, the gift that he bought, that he purchased with his own. It took the blood of God's Son. It took the blood of Emmanuel to purchase salvation for sinners. That shows you just how great our sin is. I want you to notice that salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. And what a dramatic change there would have been in that house. What a dramatic change there's been in those houses where drunkenness ruled, where gambling ruled, where drugs ruled, where immorality and vice ruled. What a dramatic change have come to those houses when Jesus has come in. All is changed when Jesus comes to stay. You think of the dramatic change that was in the house of Legion. Remember Legion, whenever the Lord delivered him, Legion wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to be a missionary. And the Lord said, no, you go home. Says, you go home. And tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. That was a changed home. You recall the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And glory to God, not only was the jailer saved, but his wife and his whole family. You have the house. But you know the Lord not only came into the house of Zacchaeus, he came into the heart of Zacchaeus. And we see that Zacchaeus did exactly what the Lord instructed him to do. He made haste and came down. There's the gospel story. He made haste and came down. The Lord said to him, make haste and come down. And whenever the Lord says, make haste and come down, that's what we are to do. And when the Lord gives the sinner and offers the sinner a gift, he has to make haste and he has to come down. Come down from his high and lofty and proud position. Zacchaeus had to come down. Zacchaeus was up in that tree and he was above everybody else. But he had to come down. And some people think that they don't need to be saved because they're above everybody else. They think, oh, I'm better than that next door neighbor of mine. Oh, I'm better than that drunkard down the street. No. No better at all. If your soul is to be saved from sin, you need to come down. Notice his happiness, because we are told that this little man, verse 6, made haste, came down, received him joyfully. Joyfully. Remember what we said, the beginning, what you have in Christ? Your peace, pardon, assurance, forgiveness, happiness. Isn't that what the psalmist said? Blessed. The word blessed means happy. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed. Happy is the man who has his sins washed away. Maybe you've been laboring under a burden of sin for a long time. That burden can be lifted today. And you'll know a happiness you never knew before. And it's the happiness and the joy that Christ alone can give. Our last point, and finally and briefly, we notice the change in this little man. We know that any man that be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New creature or a new creation. Notice his posture. We're told in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. He stood. This little man stood up. Multitude of people around him. But there's this little man standing up. Do you know what he's doing? He's standing up for his Lord. Do you notice how he addresses him? It says, and Zacchaeus stood up and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. In other words, he has recognized Jesus Christ as his Lord. Is Christ your Lord? Is he your Lord and your Savior? This little man had no sooner received the gift of salvation than in front of all that multitude, he stood up and acknowledged Christ as his Lord. He received courage and boldness and strength that he never knew he had. That's what happens, you see, when the Lord Jesus comes into your heart. Because Solomon has said, the righteous are as bold as a lion. This little man was as bold as a lion. His posture, and yet the promise. Zacchaeus made a promise to the Lord. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That's proof positive. A change has been wrought in this man's life. Remember the rich young ruler who came inquiring at the Lord's feet how he could enter the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord told him, "Well, all the money you have, give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me." And we're told that he went away sorrowing because he had many riches. Couldn't let go of the money. He went away without Christ. He went away without salvation. But here's this little man. He has received Christ. And immediately he says, "I will give my money to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anybody that I shouldn't have, I'll restore it to him fourfold." You see, the Lord had not only come into this man's house, it came into his heart, but the Lord had touched this man's hands as well. And he was ready, willing, and able to give to the Lord. To give of his money. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. "Every man according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Zacchaeus became a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is the word we get our English word hilarious from. And here we see God loves a hilarious giver who's able to give to the Lord with a smile on his face, who's happy to give to the Lord. Zacchaeus was happy to give to the Lord the day he was saved. Sure, positive proof. Zacchaeus was a new creature. And then you have the purpose. In verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It was like the Lord saying, when Zacchaeus came down, and the Lord entered his house, and the Lord entered his heart, and the Lord touched his hands that he was ready and willing to give, the Lord was really saying, "This is why I came. This is why I came into the world. I came to change lives. I came to save souls. I came to make new creatures." See what has happened to Zacchaeus? See what I've been able to do with Zacchaeus? That's why I came. That's why he has come, sinner. come to change lives. Praise God for all in the meeting today who's had their life changed by the power of Christ. But what about others? He can change your life as well. The devil will change your life for the worst. But Christ will always change your life for the best. Praise his name. Little man who met the God man. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we do rejoice in the saving power of Christ. We do rejoice again, Lord, that our Savior came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Like the good shepherd who went out seeking that sheep that was lost. When he had found it, he put it upon his shoulders and brought it home rejoicing. Lord, I pray that some lost sheep today will be found. And they'll be rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The saints of glory will rejoice. As the news of a lost sheep being found is carried to glory. Lord, answer prayer. We ask you to write this word upon hearts today. And use the word, Lord, to thy glory in the salvation of souls. Again, Lord, bless all of our visitors. Be with them throughout this day. And Lord, be pleased to return us to thy house tonight. We might learn more from thy word and learn more of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.